Grace to you and peace from God who makes and creates all things. Amen. I love this story of Naaman, this just incredible parable for us that we need to hear each and every day. You've heard the story already. I won't recount the whole thing. That'll take 10 minutes out of my sermon, which you'll be glad for. But I want to point out a couple of things. Naaman has this debilitating disease that really should have separated him out from any possibility of being a great warrior and a leader of men. But there he is. He is a commander of the armies. Naaman is well known, and he seeks to be healed. This stranger to Israel, this stranger to God. And who is it that clues him where to go to be healed? Is it the wise men? Is it the viziers? Is it the great advisors to the king? No. It's a captured slave girl from Israel. This young girl who really didn't have a lot to gain goes to Naaman and says to him, "Go to Israel. There is a man there, a prophet, and you can be healed." You all know the rest of the story, how Naaman goes and he hears the message of how to be healed. And it's something so simple. It's so simple, in fact, that Naaman gets quite annoyed by the thought of it. It would be sort of like if you spent an hour waiting in the doctor's office to be healed of your malady, and you wait and you wait and you wait, and then a little while later the nurse comes out and says, "Doc says take 2 aspirin." That's it? Yes, and that's $45, by the way. That's all I got to do? Naaman wants some ritual, right? He wants something to happen that he can feel and see. He wants this to be hard. He has this horrible disease. What do you mean? Just go wash in the Jordan. He gets really angry. Until, again, his servants remind him, these outsiders. If it would have been difficult, you'd have been happy to do it. So Naaman, get a clue, go wash. And he does. Not only is he healed, Naaman is so impressed, he's so excited about this new relationship with God. We don't have this in our story, but Naaman wants to take that God back with him. And so he gathers up a big chest of dirt, tosses it on a camel, takes it back home, and builds an altar on that dirt to the God of Israel. He takes that God home. In the same way, 10 lepers stand far off from Jesus, a respectable distance, and they say, "Master, have mercy on me." That's all they say. And you notice in the text it doesn't say, "I got leprosy, take care of it." Have mercy. And Jesus doesn't kneel down and write in the dust or rub any mud on them or have any ritual that he does. He simply says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And they're healed. And one, the Samaritan, the outsider, comes back and gives praise to God. In both stories, the stranger, the outsider, the one who doesn't really believe or belong, is the one who has a lusty and powerful response to God's power. They are thankful. They set up altars. They praise God. They come back. They are the ones, the outsiders. I thought about that this week as I did some studying. I tried to catch up with some journals this last week, which is both good and bad, by the way. But one of the things that I've been trying to catch up on is how do we bring people into the church? I've been trying to understand that more fully. And what I found is that there's this trend these days to try and make entry into the church as difficult as possible. Right? Here's the theory. If it's easy, they won't appreciate it. But if you make it hard, they'll stay around. So, and I almost succumbed to this. I sort of like the idea. One guy proposed a 3-year process of catechetical instruction by which people would then become part of the faith. And I thought, that ain't bad. That'll teach them. A great opportunity to indoctrinate them in the faith and Lutheran tradition, to catch them up, these heathen. But then I remember Naaman, and I remember the leper. The powerful thing in those stories is that not that they somehow found God in the midst of it. What's powerful about those stories is that in both cases, God chose them. Didn't ask them for a ritual. Didn't ask them to become more moral or become more like me or more like you. God didn't ask any of them. God simply told them to wash and be healed. Simple. Stuff. Why is it then that as we look to share our faith, we are so determined to make it so complicated? So, as they say, high threshold. God is saying, I choose you. Go wash in the water. It's that simple. The problem is you have your backs to it all day. This is all God asks. This is it. There's no test. There's no, gosh, are you of the same political party as all of us? Are you gay? Are you straight? Are you rich? Are you Republican? Are you Democratic? Are you quite like us? That's not what God requires. Instead, what happens is God bids us simply wash. Pours out grace. Transforms us. That's the entry. That's it. It's no wonder people wonder about us Lutherans. We just don't have a high enough threshold. Frankly, I think one of the problems as I was reading my journals was I was seeing all of this expectation about what it means to be Christian. And that what we see today in popular religion is we know you are Christian by your political affiliation. No, that wasn't it. We know you are Christian by... do you agree with me about issue X? We know you are Christian by your love. No. We know you are Christian by God's love. That's the measure. You have been washed in the river, and you have been chosen by God. made clean and made whole. You have been fed with wine and water and bread. And now you'll be sent out. It's that simple. The problem is that we don't really get it and we don't always appreciate it. We're more like the nine than like the one. We're so busy trying to be proper that we forget to be, as we talked about in my text study, lusty Christians. Magic. We forget that. This last week is the festival of booths in the Jewish tradition. And as I listened on NPR to this fellow talk about what that means, he talks about setting up tents and there's no roof on them and you don't know what to do, whether it rains or not. But he says, you know what? I set up a tent in my front yard. I just set it up in my front yard. And if you happen to go by my house, just knock on the tent and come in, and we will share the word with you, and we will give you wine and bread and draw you here. What God has done is set up the Sukkoth booth. God has already prepared the tent and invited us in. A low threshold and a joyous life. So come, be washed, eat and drink and be sent. For you truly are God's people. And then go out from this place and share that amazing grace of a God who, like Naaman and like the leper, chooses you, whole and holy. Amen.